Well, let's take our Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. It was 1860, and Edward Spencer was a seminary student at Northwestern University. And when he heard that a steamer named Lady Elgin had wrecked off the shores of Lake Michigan, he immediately left the school, went to the lake, and began to rescue those involved in this terrible accident. He was ultimately credited with saving 18 lives. Now, Spencer was later honored by a plaque that hangs today in the gymnasium of the Northwestern University. But there's really a sad footnote to this story, and that is he was so badly injured in his rescuing attempts that he spent the rest of his life in a wheelchair. And years later, when he personally recounted the story, he said with tears, "Not one of those that I rescued ever reached back to me and said, 'Thank you.'" I say, what a sad revelation on the heart of man. Man has a thankless heart. How often we fail to say thank you. You know, it really shouldn't take a lot of effort to say thank you. And yet we do fail to acknowledge those who have been so kind and good to us. In the text before us, we find in verse 18 the command, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And then Paul proceeds, as I said when I read this portion of Scripture, to detail three beautiful consequences of being Spirit-filled. And the first is we possess a singing heart. Verse 19, "Singing to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." And then secondly, a second consequence of being Spirit-filled is we gain a thankful heart. Verse 20, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then a third consequence is we are blessed with a submissive, or I like to say a serving heart. Verse 21, "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." Now, today is Father's Day, and I always think it's special when we celebrate Mother's Day, when we celebrate Father's Day. And let me say to each of us who are fathers how vitally important it is that we are Spirit-filled. I mean, if there's anything we should be as fathers, it's Spirit-filled. Because then and only then will our homes be graced with singing, with thankfulness, and with service. We set, as fathers, we set the tone, we create the atmosphere, the environment for our homes. Might we be victorious through the Spirit? What a blessing for our children to come home to a singing, thankful, serving home. We've studied the Spirit-filled singing heart described in verse 19. This morning, our focus is centered on the thankful heart. Again, Paul admonishes us in verse 20, "And giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Here in this verse, we have our outline, and the outline has 4 points, and the first one is, when are we to be thankful? Our second point, for what are we to give thanks or to be thankful? Our third point, to whom are we to be thankful? Then our fourth point is, how are we to be thankful? Point number one, when are we to give thanks? Well, Paul answers our question in verse 20 by saying, giving thanks, what's the next word? Always. Giving thanks, always. We are to always be what? Thankful. Now, we said last Wednesday there are three attitudes towards thanksgiving. And the first attitude is, it's not necessary. It's not necessary to say thank you, to be thankful. Like the rich farmer, we rationalize, I really don't need to say thank you. I really don't need, and what really that means is I really don't need to acknowledge God's good and perfect gifts, which makes such a spirit really of practical atheism. You know, when we fail to acknowledge the God from whom all blessings flow, every good and every perfect gift comes from Him, well, we say, well, it's not necessary to say thank you. What we're really saying is, God, I really am not acknowledging you. And that's serious. And then there's a sense of hypocrisy, a second attitude. Like the proud, self-righteous Pharisee who thanked God for how spiritual he was, our thanksgiving is really a sham and a pretense. It's really just a pious show of religiosity. We really are not thankful. What we really are is we're thankful for how wonderful we are. Our spirituality. Can I say it? None of us have arrived. So we aren't thankful for who we are. We're thankful for who God is. And then there is the attitude, the third attitude, is there is a genuine thankful heart. Like the one leper who returned to tell Jesus thank you for healing him. We too are grateful for God's gracious hand upon us. Which brings us now to the three levels of thankfulness. There are three attitudes. We don't need to be thankful. We're really being hypocritical in how we are thankful. And yes, we are genuinely thankful. Well, there are three levels to genuine thankfulness. And the first level is we are thankful when things are going well. Perhaps we landed that dream job, or we are now free of cancer, or maybe our children are excelling in school. Maybe they passed. You know, sometimes it's just wonderful to get our children past DNF. Maybe they're doing well in sports. Maybe they made the all-star team. Maybe they're doing well in music. We can be thankful for that. Maybe our team just won the championship. Now, certainly it is right to be thankful for God's blessings. It's the appropriate response. And we see this reaction in Exodus 15, where the children of Israel sang the song of Moses after being delivered from the Egyptians. God had just drowned the Egyptian army in the Red Sea, and the Israelites responded in praise and thanksgiving for the victory that God had given to them. And what a victory it was! But such thankfulness is really quite easy and requires really little maturity. It really should be automatic. We should hardly have to think about it. It should just happen all the time. As we're spirit-filled, we should immediately, when someone or something good comes our way, we should say thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. You know, we should go through the day just saying thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now, the second level of thankfulness is we are grateful for the anticipated victory. We are confident, we are hopeful in God's coming deliverance. We know that He is able and therefore He will give us victory. Now, obviously, thanking God in advance before the blessing comes is more difficult than thanking Him after the blessing, and it certainly requires more faith and a deeper spiritual maturity. But here is where true faith and hope begin, for it involves the unseen and yet unexperienced. And we see an example of this hope-filled faith at the tomb of Lazarus. Remember what Christ prayed at this tomb. He said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And only God can raise the dead." And so Christ is thanking God, his Father, for sending him, which through this miracle he's about to perform, that Christ thanks his Father beforehand. He's grateful for the opportunity to proclaim the fact that he truly is God. And when he had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, "Loose him and let him go." I say, might we know of this level of thankfulness as we look forward to victory. And we can, because as believers, we are more than conquerors. We overwhelmingly conquer through him that loved us. And so we can be thankful, knowing that God does give the victory. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. But then there is a third level of thankfulness, which is thanking God, being grateful even when it seems that the enemy is winning. If you follow the news, it can feel often like the enemy is winning. And Daniel is such an example. He lived out this thankful heart even in the face of the lion's den. Let me read Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." Can you imagine? He prayed and gave thanks as he did before, even knowing that he was about to face the lions. I mean, you talk about seemingly the enemy winning. And even Jonah, backslidden Jonah, ended his prayer from the stomach of the fish with, "But I will sacrifice to thee with the voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord." The point is, we give thanks even when we are in the midst of pain, trials, disappointments, which really guarantees that we will always be thankful. I like what Joni Erickson Tada, a quadriplegic, has said: giving thanks is not a matter of feeling thankful, it is a matter of obedience. Dads, when we are thankful all the time, what an example, what a testimony that is to our family. What faith. What a powerful witness of God's grace. You know, life is hard. Life is difficult. I mean, it seems like every day I hear something that, boy, I didn't want to hear that. I don't want to know that. But that's life. But seeing Dad having a praising, thankful heart, rather than a complaining, bitter, grumpy heart, gives credibility to Christ and the gospel. You know what, dads, we need to demonstrate to our children and to our wife is that Jesus is real in my heart. Amen. That he makes a difference in how I live. When difficulties come my way, I don't respond like the heathen around me. I give thanks to the God through whom I know victory is coming. You know, I think too often, and I am guilty, but too often we want our kids to believe in Jesus, and when they look at our lives, they say, well, I don't think even Dad believes in Jesus the way he lives, how he responds when things don't go his way. God, forgive us. God, forgive me. What a testimony, what an example. Dads, we are to be. And I can promise you, sometimes we think that our children don't hear what we say. They do, but even more, they see who we are. And I've said this oftentimes, but I stand here this morning before you because I had a dad who lived out the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was not hypocritical. He rejoiced. He gave thanks. He lived for and he loved his God. Now, point number two, for what are we to give thanks? Paul said, giving thanks always for all things. Wow. We give thanks all the time for whatever comes our way. Now, do you think you can pull that off in the flesh? By no way. No way, Jose. But when we're spirit-filled, we can. And we can give thanks for all things when we realize that this is God's will as we live out God's will. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Here's God's will. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Honestly, there is something spiritually nourishing and beneficial when we with thanksgiving praise God, when we praise Him for what He brings to pass. We praise Him for the good and the bad and even the ugly things of life. Because there is a deep level of trust at work in our God who says, all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. And we believe it. And we believe it. And therefore we say with Job, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I found in my own life I grow, not usually when things are going well, but when things are going not so well. And God knows I need to grow. So we thank Him for that. Perhaps the primary reason that God is so pleased when we give thanks always for all things is because He knows such gratefulness comes from a humble heart, which recognizes I deserve nothing, but then sees God's grace and His hand in every aspect of life. As we fulfill Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, we trust in the Lord with all of our heart. We lean not unto our own understanding, but in all our ways we acknowledge Him. Then we see that He is directing our paths. When He has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And so we thank Him all the time, for all things. God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Father, as a humble, I don't deserve, God, Your will. Remember, God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect. I don't deserve, God, Your will. goes a long ways in enabling us to give thanks for all things. How are we doing so far? And then point number three, to whom are we to give thanks? Well, Paul says giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father. The thanks we give always for all things goes to God. For why? Why? He is the loving Father who is the giver of every good and every perfect gift. James chapter 1 verse 17. He is the Father who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, gifts in the heavenly places in Christ, which tells us even those things that seemingly come through others come from our Heavenly Father. The spiritual dad recognizes that God is an actively good, kind, giving, and loving Father. That's why it says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father. Paul wants to remind us that God is a loving Father, from whom all blessings flow. And then our last point, how are we to be thankful? Verse 20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We say thanks to God, our Heavenly Father, but we do so in the name that is above every name, in the name of Jesus, for He is our ultimate example of a humble, thankful heart. You know, sometimes we just need an example to follow. He is that example. He is our pattern of thankfulness, for He was always offering thanks to His Father. Before He multiplied the loaves and the fishes to feed the 4,000, Jesus gave thanks. He gave thanks before He called Lazarus from the grave. He gave thanks as He instituted the Lord's Supper. Remember, He was about to be crucified, and here He's giving thanks. And He could do so because He made Himself of no reputation, took on Him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. There's a spiritual catalyst that comes alive when we, with humble heart, acknowledge the living God. Christ willingly drank the cup of death, dying for the sins of the world, and He did so with joy. Remember that verse in Hebrews 12, verse 2? Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. Wow! And consequently, He is now set down at God's right hand. Meaning God has exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. What an example Jesus is of thankfulness. And thus, dads, we are always to give thanks for everything to God through the precious, precious name of Jesus. For by His Spirit we are cleansed from sin, we are cleansed from self. Oh, to be cleansed from self and from thanklessness as we become more and more like Him, as we become more and more conformed to His image. And so we overflow with gratitude. We continually offer up the sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name, and we become careful or anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, we let our requests be made known unto God. You know, when it seems like the enemy is winning, when it seems like life is crashing down around us, we make our petitions to God. We call on His name. We draw a spiritual strength that is not of us. We cry out to Him, and we do so in anticipation of the victory that is ours. And thus we do so with thanksgiving. And God promises, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep, it means guard, it means garrison our hearts and minds through whom? Christ Jesus. A city missionary in London was called to an old tenant building where the woman lay dying in the last stages of a terrible disease. The room was cold, she had nowhere to lie but on the floor. When the missionary asked if there was anything he could do, she replied, "I have all I really need. I have Jesus." Dads and fathers, when we realize having Jesus is truly enough, it's truly enough, we too, with a Spirit-filled heart, will give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is enough.